This is Miss Melisse, the bathtub mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub.
Have you ever watched Inside the Actor Studio? Have you ever imagined that Jim Lipton was going to ask you the Bernard Pivot questionnaire? Well, I'm not Bernard Pivot or James Lipton, but I have the questions, and today we're going to have Nettie and Tech answer them.
Bonjour, je suis Bernard Pivot. That's not right.
He's a little bit dead, so that would be really amazing.
That's how I feel right now, so we're fine.
What's
French for zombie?
Let's just hope an arm doesn't fall off. We'll make it through.
Okay. I want to keep it in the same order if we can. So which one of you wants to go first? But I'm going to alternate. I'm going to ask you both the same question, and you can both answer it. All right. So, Nettie, what is your favorite word?
Favorite word? Either defenestrate or catorce.
Oh, those are good words.
14 in Spanish.
It's just fun to say.
It's fun to say.
Miércoles.
You'll find out mine when you interview me. I'm not going to tell. So, Tech, what's your favorite word?
Well, Nutty stole defenestrate.
Ah.
Was always a good
You don't have to. You can have the same word. It's allowed.
There's so many that are fun to say. And there's a bunch in French that I can't repeat because they're naughty. But yeah, let's go with that. Let's move on. Yep. Defenestrate.
Okay.
I want to chuck things out windows. What?
All right, confession, my first use of that word in the wild was from Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes.
From the poem, The Monster Under the Bed thing.
Yep.
Oh, well, if we're going to go, now that you bring up Calvin and Hobbes, I mean, I have to add in an honorable mention for transmogrification.
Yes.
Identify.
Oh, good words. Okay. Tech, what's your least favorite word?
The catch-all answer here is everybody has to say they hate the word moist. Least favorite word. Yeah, see, this is great radio right here. your truncated silence tool is going to get some good use here. I don't know. I don't have a least favorite word. I have words that I don't like when they're spoken by particular people.
Okay.
I have things that I don't like. The sound, anything spoken by someone else's child is moderately annoying. The words, but ma'am, I hate that word.
I think that's reasonable. Nutty, what's your least favorite word?
Yeah, I have a similar issue because a lot of mine are word combinations. You know, well, actually is a really obnoxious one.
I think that counts.
If I have to choose one, I'm going to say simp.
I like it.
Because if you're using it unironically, just go.
This is true. Nutty, what turns you on?
But to stan is fine, but to simp isn't.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the people that use simp are just, yeah.
All right, so Nutty, what turns you on? Creatively,
okay.
It can be it can be sexually if you want, but creatively, yeah. Spiritually, whatever.
Passion Ooh. Turns me on. People that are, or things that are passionate, things that are there for the best experience. It's one of the reasons I like sumo, because they're not about I'm better than you. It's I want to fight the best. When I hear somebody passionate about something, it doesn't matter if it's something I'm into. If you're passionate, I thrive on that passion.
Yeah, I have to agree, because I would rather listen to someone who is passionate about something I don't like than someone talk about something I do like, but they just don't care about it. I have learned more about weirdo hobbies and weirdo interests just because the people were interested. I once listened to an entire brief for pilots that I am not a pilot. I didn't need to be there, but the air traffic controller that was giving the brief on how the airport ran was just so interesting that I had to shake his head after. I was like, that was the coolest airport traffic control brief I've ever sat in. It's also my only traffic control brief I've ever sat in, and I'm not a pilot. I don't care, but it was just so much fun to listen to him.
Oh, that's so cool. All right, Tech, what turns you off?
People that fall into the curve of the Dunning-Kruger effect. the know-it-alls, the people that have been doing this thing for approximately 15 minutes and suddenly suddenly think that they're the experts to the world, the people that say Nutty's least favorite word of, well, actually, you know, the nerd at the comic book store who thinks I'm wrong because I bought the wrong comic book because obviously I should have known that episode 7 was better than episode 8. How dare you not know this? As he looks down the barrel of his fedora at me. That guy can go away. I don't need him. I like what I like. I let you like what you like, and let's meet in the middle and talk about things. But I am not wrong for liking what I like.
And you're very passionate about it too.
Absolutely.
Which is attractive.
Absolutely. So Nutty, what turns you off?
Apathy and pessimism. People that will look at whatever it is and find the negative. Instead of looking for the silver lining of a cloud, they're looking for the gray shadow of whatever the sun is shining down. People that are apathetic, you know, they'll look at your passion, your hobby, and say, oh, it must be nice to have so much time.
I hate that.
Or, oh, I could never do that, or whatever. You know, it's for a while, it was a real trend that you should be apathetic. And it was just so frustrating because it is the lack of passion. It is such a negative experience. And all you're doing is swallowing poison and making yourself more miserable and making those around you miserable. I'm turned off by it. I don't want to be there. I want to find the geeks. I want to find the people that are, you know, 100% in. Yeah, I'm never going to win this, but it's so much fun, you know?
I feel like I should do this next one at the end. So I'm gonna go back to it because it will ruin the flow. What's a sound or a noise that you love?
Who are you asking?
Both of you.
Oh.
Whoever answers first, the other person goes second.
I like things that are loud. I've worked around loud things my whole life. I've been shooting since I was 4 years old. I like guns. I like cars. I like lead singers that scream in metal bands. I like a lot of noises, but most of them are really, really loud. I think when you can turn the volume up and you just get that pressure in your ears of you're totally enveloped in sound, you don't have to concentrate on anything else. You can just enjoy that sound. So, yeah, let's go with loud.
For me, it's a something that hums. You know, one of the reasons why I joke around saying I have a voice fetish. I love a deep gravelly voice, much like tech. I love metal singers, especially females, that are growly. I love that growl that comes in, that Janis Joplin, that Tom Waits, you know, but I also like it from electronics and other things. So
for the record, Tom Waits is neither a metal singer nor a
No, but I once I went into Janis Joplin, I was like, you know what? Let's just keep going with it.
Okay.
I mean, Dorina Harvey isn't a metal singer either, but she's got the growl.
Oh, she's got the growl.
Yeah, she really does. It's there's something about that low timbre hum that I like, and sometimes you'll hear it in a car. Sometimes you'll hear it in nature. You'll hear it in a growl from a big cat, or in your case, alligators.
Is this where we break into that conversation from Lower Decks where they're all talking about
yes.
which is their favorite thrum of the warp engine?
No, actually, like, so my dog, Teddy, my big one, you've seen him, is part Rottweiler. And there's this thing called the Roddy Rumble, where when they're in a really happy place, they purr. But it's really a soft growl.
Yeah.
I think you would love it.
I would. And it tells me that they're happy, and I love those happy noises too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What is a sound or noise that you hate?
Nothing.
Nothing like you don't hate anything, or nothing like you nothingness?
Like the sound of nothing. And I won't say the sound of silence. No. No, because I can never hear silence because I have really bad tinnitus. So what I hear is the inner sound of my own head. I hate that sound. For years, remember, I didn't grow up in English. I grew up in French.
Right.
People, you guys use weird words to mean different things. So when you say the word ringing, ringing is the sound a bell makes. Ding, 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 ding,
right.
ding. And they say, oh, you have ringing in your ears? No, because I don't hear ding, 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 ding. I hear three tones at about 8,000 hertz, and they alternate back and forth, shifting through major and minor chords.
I get that too.
That,
So that's not a ringing. Therefore, I don't have tinnitus. Therefore, I don't need to go to the doctor. And I've lived with this sound in my head for years, thinking that this is just what other people have. Well, I guess it's not that common. But yeah, I hate the sound of nothing.
Or it is not tinnitus, and what it really is the alien signal in your head.
Oh, no. That's what I've been hearing. That's what happens when I got my fillings.
Ah.
What, nobody else hears the CIA cafeteria menu in their teeth? Just me?
Apparently not. Nadia, what's the sound or noise
for
that you
me,
hate?
It's kind of the opposite of before. It's these high-pitched noises. It's pretty much asthma stuff, but mouth noises. The whistle of somebody breathing on a microphone. I really hate when I hear I'm listening to the CBC and the host sounds great, but then the secondary host doesn't have a pop filter.
They're a national level broadcaster. Could they not just invest in a couple $10 pop filters?
Like,
please?
Give everyone a pop filter, please. But yeah, those high-pitched noises of mouth noises. I don't want to hear people eating. I don't want to hear crinkling. Yeah. Don't rub your mouth on the microphone. Yeah, none of that.
Sorry, Nutty.
Get close, but no beard rubbing, Andy.
I'm going to start with Nutty this time. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? You don't have to be good at it. You just have to attempt it.
Yeah. There's so many, because I've worn a lot of hats. I've worn a lot of professions. But I think it would be a lot of fun to be one of those people, the pattern matching people or something like that, you know, or just working at Pantone. I know that's still kind of graphic, but, you know, get a job at Pantone helping select the colors, like give me something with colors. But yeah, I would love to get like a pattern matching job where your job is to find the patterns and to fix the patterns. And that's how we solve, you know, whatever.
Can I say something about patterns while you mention it? So I grew up with my mom hand sewing a lot of my, not hand like by hand, but, you know, homemade with a machine, making all of my clothes. And she's a perfectionist. So if I had a plaid, it matched all the way around. If I had a stripe, it matched everywhere. It drives me crazy when you buy something, even at Torrid, and the patterns don't match.
Yeah, they don't line up. It is a seam and it doesn't match. Yep.
I am not OCD, but that just drives me crazy.
Especially when there's like a dart on the chest and you get half a flower.
Yes.
There's a stark line.
On this side of my chest, the ducks are going this way, but on this side of my chest, the ducks are going that way.
Why are the ducks face up here, but face down there?
I don't want upside down ducks on my pocket. Flip those ducks around.
Tech, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Honestly, nursing.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. You're telling me I get to have a job where I get paid really, really good money to make a positive difference in the world and care about people?
And wear sneakers.
And wear sneakers.
And pajamas all day?
Yeah, you're basically wearing a gi.
They're basically wearing scrubs. Every time I go to the hospital, I always poke gentle fun at the staff. It must be nice to wear your pajamas to work. And the one medic one day, as he's taking my vitals, he looks at me and goes, I know, right?
He says the guy that wears combats that are essentially pajamas.
Yeah, it's a bigger... Yeah, but my boots are a little less comfy than the sneakers and Crocs they wear. Yeah. I would not be caught dead in Crocs, though.
No.
But yeah, nursing. Absolutely. I've always had, as a mechanic, as a person who fixes machines for a living, I've always said that my job and the job of a medical professional are very, very similar. People come to us with a problem. They don't have the language or the expertise to understand what the problem is, and they need us to fix it for them. So you put your detective hat on, you have to do some fault finding, you have to do some detective work to figure out what's wrong. The only difference is that the machines I fix don't scream, and it's easier to get blood out of clothing than hydraulic oil. Other than those two things, I think the jobs are pretty darn similar.
That's an interesting take. Tech, what profession would you absolutely not want to have?
Social worker. Like, I'll help people with the problem when the problem is their arm out of their socket, or they're bleeding, or they have cancer, or stuff like that, but to just sit there... To just sit there and listen to, I don't think my dog likes me anymore, and I don't know how to help my relationship with Mr. Muffin. It's like, I don't care about your problem with you and Mr. Muffin. I am not good at this type of interaction. I would absolutely not be a social worker.
Submarine Submariner. Yeah. I was like, what is the profession called? Yeah, submariner. As much as I love the water, as much as I love boats, I am so claustrophobic.
Yeah, but you get to be in a boat surrounded by the water.
Oh no, you're in a tin can surrounded by the water.
Like, I visited subs and the everything's open, I can get out, you know, whatever, but there are definitely some rooms that I can't see the sky and I'm like, I'm good. I'm going to walk through here quickly.
What's your favorite curse word?
Go ahead, Nutty.
Crockenbush.
I can't repeat any of mine because... Well,
yes, you can.
No, I don't want to. See, here's the...
Okay, see, that's not fair. You can. You don't want to.
Tabarnak, don't make me. you see, the thing is...
It's not like I can reach through the screen and force you.
I just did. Yeah. Now, here's the thing, is that in English, curse words are... they're sexual or they're body parts or excrement related. And all of those words in French are not curse words. You hear them on kids' shows.
Right.
Literally. There's no, y'all, after 9 o'clock thing. No, the English words,
but
you hear them on the radio.
So honestly, then, if you like are hammering something and you bang the hell out of your thumb, what are you going to exclaim?
I said tabarnak already, but yeah. The beauty of French is that, one, all of our curse words are blasphemous, which makes them extra naughty, and we do the German thing where you just compound them together, so the more pain you're in, the more curse words you string together. So
love it.
Yeah. No, it gets it. I remember the one time I was working at my desk and this thing fell off my desk and hit me in the head, and I just start this litany of cursing. And the thing about somebody who's hurt and they're screaming, that tells you important things. That tells you that they're conscious and that they have an airway. So they're not really that hurt. It's when they get hit and they fall and they don't make a sound, then there's a big problem. So I'm screaming up a litany of curse words. And as I open my eyes, I just see an ice pack drop on the ground next to me and Nutty walking away. Yep. It's like, yep, that's perfect. Thank you, dear.
And I heard iced tea cow lips. Table snacks, iced tea, cow lips. That was it.
That's awesome. All right.
The what it sounds like to an English speaker when French swear words.
I have to ask you something, Tech. So I have a lot of, you know, non-native English speaker, not English as a first language friends. And a couple of my German friends have this thing where they can curse in English, but they will not curse in German because, like, if it's in English, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No. And that's the thing. If I'm cursing in English, it's just punctuation in a sentence. If I'm mad, I'm cursing in French.
Okay.
And that's a great way to tell. And a lot of people are like, oh, he swears so much. It's like, did I swear? You said the F word 7 times in that sentence.
I love that word.
Did I?
Tech has come really far with limiting English swears, but when I met him, it was like every other word practically, because it was like the and right? And when I went to visit his family, the same thing, because they're French. Those aren't swears.
I got it.
And then 3 years on community radio really did help. Did help the cursing,
I would think. All right, last question. We're going to go with Tech first on this one. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I can't believe you ate the whole thing.
And that's why you died. That's a good way to go.
That's awesome. Nutty.
You again?
Yes. I love it.
Oh, no, not again. Hey, Peter, she's back.
That was fun.
That was fun. And I got to know you guys better and differently than I usually do.
I like how you said it's a really good writing tool. And I kind of want to do it with like all of my characters. You know?
Right.
So how would the characters answer that? Now, we know what Rory would say for all of them. Roar. But then we'd have to translate, right?
Well,
so
yeah.
I have a role-playing game. It's called Legend of the Five Rings. That it's basically medieval fantasy, but set in the Japanese mythology. So you're fighting demons and stuff as like samurai. Really cool. In the character creation is a game of 20 questions that you play with your DM. So as you write your character, your DM is asking you these 20 questions. And it's things like, who are your parents? You know, what are your hobbies? What do you do in school? Are you married? And it's, the questions are very much like this, but the idea to flesh out your character more than just the stats on the page and the dice that you've rolled. And it was so much fun, and it was such a good tool to help me as the DM and to help my friends as role players in building our characters, that I would use that in other role playing games. I would just flip open my Legend of the Five Rings book and go through these 20 questions, because it worked really, really well to get to know someone, to get to know your character. So it's very similar to this. I remember my one friend who, a little dim, but it's things like, what kind of character are you playing? I'm playing an assassin. Okay, what are his hobbies? Killing. Tell me about his parents. He killed them. What does he do on weekends? He kills things. It's like, oh, okay, you haven't really thought about this. So some of my players needed a little more coaching than others.
I feel like it's a really good writing tool. There is a different version that has a couple of extra questions, different questions, because, you know, people tailor it to their needs. Yeah. So there are these two other questions that I really love that I am not going to actually use for everybody, but because it's you guys, and I won't use it in the recording. The other two alternate questions are, if you were reincarnated as some other plant or animal, what would it be? So not human.
What would it be, or what would I want it to be?
What would it be? Well, isn't that the same?
Well, no, because if the whole reincarnation thing is, you get what you deserve. So I'm probably coming back as a bacteria a couple of times.
This is Tack, our friend, our pet amoeba.
Look at him slurp about that petri dish. Go, Tack.
I was thinking, like, I probably would come back as a bear because I'm a lot more bear-like.
But you get to be growly.
Yes, but I would like to come back as a house cat who has a house and is spoiled, because duh.
People always said that they wanted to come back as my stepfather's chihuahua. Because there were times, this is their first dog, when, like, he'd be at the stove cooking something and people would walk in and go, what are you making? Oh, I'm marinating beef hearts. Is that dinner? No, that's for the dog.
Yeah.
Well, what are we having? Susan's making hamburgers. So, Tack, what would you want to be reincarnated?
Probably a bird.
Mm.
If I had to be a barn swallow.
Oh, fun. That's so specific. I love it.
You get the barn swallows are my favorite. I mean, we go to there's a little bridge in our village over the river, and it's within walking distance, and the barn swallows have nested in all of the pillars under the bridge. And so you just stand there and you're watching these little birds do loop-de-loops as they're catching bugs and then going back to their nests, and you can hear the chirps of the babies.
Oh, that's so right cool.
The barn swallows, they're like it's like an aerobatic team. It's like watching the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels doing loop-de-loops around you all day, and it's free and they're super cool. Barn swallow or something in the raptor family. You get to tell me I get to come back as a peregrine and do 200-mile-an-hour dives and blow up pigeons? Hell yeah. It's fun.
I'm thinking now I want to be a sandhill crane because they can cut anything.
Oh, yeah. We have katanas, and your katana can be very specialized. And for Tech's katana, it's all birds.
Oh, I love that.
He wanted a barn swallow, but there isn't a barn swallow, right?
So the guard, the hand guard, the hilt of the sword is... it's an eagle with his claws out eating songbirds.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, how cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Nutty's sword is all frogs.
But I don't want to come back as a frog because I don't think that they have nice lives.
Well, it depends where they live, but generally they end up food.
Yeah.
They serve a very, very, very valuable purpose, though, because they eat mosquitoes, and anything that eats mosquitoes is welcome.
Which is, I mean, like, hello. Spiders and frogs, yes, I'm always happy with them.
Now, I think we can all agree here. It's like, if we could live in a place that didn't have power boats, manatee sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want to get run over.
No.
That's another I could come back, like, because I
mean, all you have to do is lie around in warm water and eat lettuce.
Yes.
Yeah. They are the real mermaids.
They are. They absolutely are.
The real unicorns are rhinoceros. And the real mermaids are manatees.
I'll give you rhinoceros, but there's also this kind of hoofstock that's related to gazelles that have really tall horns. And when they fight, they tend to break them. So there's a lot of male versions of this animal running around with only one horn.
Gotcha. Yeah, I could see that. Well, so, and then there's the narwhal.
And the narwhal.
Unicorn of the sea.
Really, I think that should be it. But I love rhinos. I love that rhinos look like they're going to kill you and are actually pretty gentle.
Mm.
And then hippos look pretty gentle, but they will absolutely kill you.
Oh, they'll eat yours. They will eat you.
You see what they do to watermelons? Ugh.
Yeah, the thing is, they're not actually carnivores. They're just going to kill you because you're in the way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like that, it's not for food. It's just
no.
It's for territory.
Yeah. So, like when they're in zoos and things like that, they get accustomed to people, and they're not likely to eat them. But they also only handle them behind bars. I would love to see a rhino. I would love to be able to touch a rhino. They're just so cool.
Well, I've seen them at zoos.
I've seen them at Fossil Rim, which is the drive-through safari thing in Texas. And they're pretty shy. They actually get, you know, the roller brushes from automated car washes?
Yes.
They get those and they give them to the rhinos to rub against.
Yeah. Brushy, brushy, brushy.
So the last question that is not part of the 10 I'm using, but I think is interesting, and you can tell how dated this questionnaire is. Who would you like to see on a new banknote? Like, remember paper money?
Yeah. So I'm still an advocate for Harriet Tubman.
Yes.
Like, she needs to be on a banknote.
I think RBG.
I think you need...
But she's been dead long enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you need somebody to be dead for a while, because if we start the idea of having somebody on a banknote, I mean, other than sovereigns, got it, of people being on banknotes... too soon, that's going to lead to people like Trump getting thrown on a bank.
No, please, no. It can be a monopoly money.
Oof. No, even that.
Tech?
I'll be honest, I don't know enough of my prime ministers to pick one that I don't know that I would want on my money, because the ones that we've got are actually a pretty good cross-section. We've only had one woman prime minister, and she didn't do a very good job, and I don't like her policies, so I don't want to see Kim Campbell on a banknote. But now appointed to the role of governor general, there's a whole bunch of people that I would like to see as our governor general. So I'm going to deviate from your question slightly and say guys like Rick Hansen, you know, the man in motion, the guy that went around the world in a wheelchair in the 80s. Apparently, the only reason he isn't getting the role of Governor General of Canada is because it would cost too much money to outfit his personal residence with wheelchair ramps.
And, that's too bad. Thank you, guys. So then before we go, tell people where we can find you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So Tech and I do the Nutty Bites podcast, which you can find at nimlas.org, NIMLAS.org. The Nutty Bites podcast is a non-profit podcast, or a not-for-profit podcast. We do have a Patreon, and every donation that we get, and then some, is donated. So we collect donations to give to various charities. And every quarter, the patrons get to vote to where those donations go. So it's awesome. A lot of fun. And we talk about geeky topics.
Content for the Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartel and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. No one does anything entirely alone. Join me in thanking my patrons, Nuke Chess, Susan Fogel, Jason Banks, Clay Robeson, Charlotte and Ken Kennedy, Mark the Encaffeinated One, Selena Taylor, Fran Hutchinson, and Patricia. For show notes and complete credits, visit bathtubmermaid.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.